Blog Talk Radio.
I dream of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gate, I cried, "Holy."
Glory, I clap my hands.
Amen. Hallelujah. For we serve a mighty, mighty God. This is Dr. Ventura. You're listening to the Sound Doctrine broadcast coming to you live from Imperial Beach, California. I want to welcome the listeners from around the world and want to thank those that were kind enough to send us emails and get in our chat rooms and go over there and look at Brother Lewis, who taught last week. His lesson was a great lesson, and I understand there was a lot of interest in Brother Lewis's writings and his information, and he's a great historian, and want to thank you for visiting his site and encouraging him, because that certainly does encourage him. Amen. We really serve a mighty God. You just have no idea the miracles and the wonders and the blessings that I receive letters and people that tell us that, you know, we listened to the program and we got some sound doctrine that we didn't get in our church, and we've been in Methodist churches and Lutheran churches and Catholic churches and Protestant churches and some people that call themselves Baptists. And Dr. Ventura, we learn something. And amen. And that's what this is all about. We're bringing you sound doctrine. And we stand in the conviction of the King James Version Bible is the holy word of God. And we're not going to get into any NIVs, RSVs, ASVs, NLBs, messages, or any of that other silly nonsense. But we're going to get right down to the word of God. And so tonight, I want to welcome you. We're in lesson number 10, back into the series of basic discipleship. And remember, the Apostle Paul told Timothy he should put the brethren in remembrance of these things, in remembrance. And so it's good for even us who have been saved for many years to go back and look at the milk of the Word of God. And there's meat in here, too. And if you're not saved and you're listening in this evening, I hope that you'll be blessed. And if you are listening in and you're saved, I hope you're also blessed. And if you have a friend or a relative who's not saved, get them on the radio. Get them on the radio this evening and let them hear this broadcast and let them get some sound doctrine in their life, because there's not a lot of it out there. They've got the Bibles out of the schools and the Word of God out of the courtrooms. I heard recently that they wanted to remove poinsettias from a courtroom that somebody brought some poinsettias because it related to Christmas. Lord have mercy. What in the world is going on? Well, we know what's going on. Satan's days are limited, and he knows it, and he's raising a ruckus about it. This evening, I'd like to start off by giving you the phone number to the radio station. It's 347-945-5416. That's 347-945-5416. You're welcome to call in. We're going to slow down around 9:30 on the East Coast, 6:30 on the West Coast, and we're going to slow a little bit, give you an opportunity to call in. But if you feel the Holy Spirit's put something on your heart and you have a need to call in prior, please do. You know, I'm looking at Psalm 102, and the scripture says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee." Amen. Amen. Hear my prayer, O Lord. I mean, it doesn't everybody want their prayer to be heard. And you know what? Sin will separate us from the will of God. Sin will separate us and cause God maybe not to hear our prayers, to answer them. And so we need to get the sin out of our lives. We need to keep a good relationship with God. Paul said if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Amen. And so let's have a prayer together, kind of just humbly bow our heads and come before the throne of grace. Oh, mighty God, the God of all creation, we bow down before you, Father God, and we give you praise, and we thank you, God, for Jesus Christ, that you sent your Son to sacrifice so I wouldn't have to go to hell, so that sinners don't have to go to hell. Oh, mighty God, we are so grateful to you. We thank you. We pray, God, that you would set me aside tonight, God. God, that only your Holy Spirit would flow from me, that the listening audience would be blessed through you, Father God, and that when we ended this program, this broadcast this evening, we could say, hey, we met with God tonight. Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, Almighty God. And we thank you, Father, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And I would ask God in Jesus' name, in addition to that prayer, that if there's any sin in any of our lives that would stop us from receiving this word tonight, that the Lord would forgive us in Jesus' name. Lesson number 10, we're going to move on to a tough subject, and it's kind of a long lesson, but we're going to try and get it all in an hour, and we'll see if the Lord makes that happen. But lesson 10, we're dealing with sin. We're dealing with sin, and that's a difficult subject. Now, often people say to me, Dr. Ventura, how do I overcome sin in my life? How do I overcome sin in my life? Now, remember the last lesson we studied on giving, and what is the meaning of giving, and what are my responsibilities in that area. And so tonight, in lesson 10, dealing with sin. How do I overcome sin in my life? You know, my brother, a famous preacher once said that when a person gets saved, or when a saved person begins to battle sin in his own life, he enters a combat that's so intense that it would make World War II look like a Sunday school picnic. And the truth is not evident to young Christians. Listen, young Christians don't get that. But as you grow, you'll begin to realize that intensity in your life of that struggle. And if you're an older Christian, you know exactly what I'm saying. Why, Paul was saved 20 years approximately when he wrote that he had this struggle in his own flesh, that the flesh wanted the things of the world, and that he wanted in his spirit the things of God, and he had this battle that he needed the victory. Amen. So I think what we need to do, first of all, is I think we ought to discuss what is sin, because some people have a misconception exactly what sin is. Sin is simply breaking God's law. And I've spoken to a lot of people, and they've told me they're good people, and they've never stolen anything, and they've never told a lie, and you know, and I knew they were lying when they said that. Amen? They just didn't know it. You know? But if you bear false witness, you're a liar. Even if it's what they call a white lie. Okay? There's no such thing. Truth is truth. But in the book of John, 1 John, the epistle of John, chapter 3, verse 7, Scripture says, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Amen? Well, sin is any unrighteousness. In the epistle of John 1:5-17, John goes on to say, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. So sin is anything, my brethren, that is done apart from faith. Where Paul wrote in Romans 14:23, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So that's our definition of sin. That's our definition of sin. Sin is breaking God's law. Sin is any unrighteousness. Sin is anything done apart from faith. And so many people say, well, why do I sin? Why do I sin? Well, you sin because you inherited a sinful nature from Adam. In the book of Romans, Paul wrote in chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. There isn't anybody who hasn't sinned. Amen? 1 Corinthians 15, except Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, 45 through 49 says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit, referring to Jesus. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man, that's Adam, is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven, that's Jesus Christ, and is the earthly, such as they also that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Amen. We're waiting for the redemption of this body. This sinful body one day will be taken away from us. Thank God for that. Amen. There's no sin in heaven. And the truth is, my brethren, we sin as a result of temptation in three major areas of our lives. And they're outlined in 1 John 2:15 and 16. You know, Jesus Christ was also tempted in these three areas. Yet he was without sin, as stated in Hebrews 4:15. But there's three things that affect our lives with regard to sin. It happened in the Garden of Eden. It happened in heaven when Lucifer fell to the lust. Now, I'm not going to say the lust of the flesh, but he certainly had the pride of life and the lust of the eyes. But here there's three things we humans, we Christians, we men and women and boy and girl in the world. Number one, the lust of the flesh. Did you know Eve was tempted in this point in Genesis 3:6? Because when she saw the tree that it was good for food. See, Jesus was tempted in this point in Matthew 4:3 when the devil tried to get him to turn the stones into bread. You know, Jesus had been up there fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And I'm absolutely sure that when he came down, he was hungry. And you know what? The devil said to him, you know, to turn his stone into bread. And Jesus said, you know, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And I'll bet you that that loaf of bread looked like one of those Jewish loaves. And, you know, Satan's pretty crafty. But number one, the lust of the flesh. Here's another thing, the lust of the eyes. Eve was tempted when she saw the tree. Scripture says it was pleasant to the eyes. And Jesus Christ was tempted when the devil showed him all the kingdoms of the world and promised to give them to him in exchange for his worship. Satan said, if you bow down to me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Because he is the prince of this world. And so he had that authority. But Jesus Christ is going to get the kingdoms anyway. Amen? Jesus Christ is going to get the kingdoms and glory to God. So, you know, they were going to be Jesus anyway. Jesus didn't fall to that temptation. And then third of all, there's the pride of life. Eve fell to that temptation too. Scripture says she saw that fruit and it was to be desired to make one wise. See, Jesus overcame the temptation and cast himself down proudly. To prove to the angels, you know, to prove that the angels would take care of him. And, you know, Satan quoted that scripture wrong, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. That's what he was quoting. But the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that's temptation in your life and in my life. Those are three major areas. And it's nothing new. It's peculiar to human beings. Amen? So we might ask the question, and often I'm asked, you know, how does God look at my sin? Brother, how does God look at my sin? Well, the truth is, my friend, your sin was judged if you're saved by God at Calvary. That's right. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he has made him to be sin for us. He made Jesus Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen? And so some people say, well, what happens if we continue in sin? Well, if you continue in sin, then God will chastise you as a father chastises his son. And you say, what does chastisement mean? Well, if your child does something wrong, you correct him. And that's a chastisement. God will correct you. He's a father and you're his child. Hebrews 12:5-11. We'll read that together if you want, if you have your Bible open, and I hope you do. You go over with me to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5-11. Scripture says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked to him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us, your human fathers, after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, Paul goes on to say, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Amen? So, you know, God will allow you to reap according to what you have sown in your life. That's just a fact. We reap what we've sown. Galatians 6:7-8 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Amen. You know, there's a formula. There's a formula for sowing and reaping. All the farmers know it. Listen, the formula is this. You always reap what you sow. Amen. You never reap what you sow right away. But when you reap what you sow, you always get more. More than you sowed. You've heard reap the whirlwind. And so a farmer plants that little piece of corn. Well, it grows. And then when he reaps it, look at all the corn he gets from that one little piece of corn. The same thing with us. If you're sowing righteous things, you're going to reap righteous things. And if you're sowing evil things, you're going to receive evil back. Listen, God's very patient. And God is long-suffering, the scriptures say. And God will wait a long time for a brother to get right. Sometimes. Not always. So, if you're in sin, or you're living in sin, or you have unconfessed sin in your lives, we need to confess that right away. Put it under the blood of Jesus. Get it behind you. Just because you sin doesn't mean you have to quit walking as a Christian. Doesn't mean you lost your salvation. But you will lose that fellowship with God. Here's another thing. People ask me often, they say, what things can I do in my life, Pastor, to overcome sin? What can I do? Your sin is really your own fault, and it's not anybody else's. You have to accept responsibility for your sin. You can never correct anything until you face up to your responsibility. That's a fact. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Amen? You'll have mercy. You know, God's a good God, and he's a merciful God, and he's a forgiving God, and he's a reasonable God. In Isaiah 1:18, he says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, because God's willing to forgive you. He said he'll put your sins as far as the east is from the west. Not the north from the south, but the east from the west. And the reason why God said that, my brethren, is because no matter how far you go east, you'll always go east. And no matter how far you go west, you'll always go west. But if you go up north, you can come down south. Amen? So God said he put it from the east from the west, your sin, as far as the east and the west. In other words, God would forget it. If you confessed a sin right now and you went to God and said, Holy Father, I've been sinful in my life. I've looked at some things I should not have. I have spoken words I should not have. I have coveted my brother's things with malice in my heart. Forgive me, Father, in Jesus' name. You know that God, if you went back to him 5 minutes, 2 minutes from now and said, God, remember that sin? He'd say, no, it's under the blood. Amen? I mean, that's what a faithful God we have. And he's merciful. And he wants to forgive you your sin. You know why? Because he wants to have fellowship with you. Here's another thing that you can do to overcome sin. Don't allow sinful thoughts to control your mind. Simple thoughts can control your mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen? Release those thoughts. Let them go. Don't hold on to them. And bring captive the thoughts of the Word of God. Hold the Word of God in your heart. You know, more scripture you read and more scripture you memorize, that it gets into your heart and it permeates your spirit and soul. It'll give you strength to overcome sin. Here's another way you can overcome sin. Don't make provisions for your flesh. Romans 13:14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh, to fulfill the lust thereof. Amen? Don't satisfy the flesh in those things that are sinful. You also, and I also, because this applies to me, I'm a Christian too, my brethren. You know, one of the hardest lessons for a young Christian to learn is that his pastor's a sinner just like them. Amen. He's a sinner. He's a man saved by grace. But you have to realize that you're dead to sin in Jesus Christ. And dead men cannot sin. Isn't that correct? Well, listen to what Romans says. Paul says over in Romans, Paul wrote this in Romans 6, 6 through 13, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, with Jesus, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Twice, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Let me say that again. Paul said, likewise, just as Jesus Christ is dead to sin, resurrected in that newness of life, you died to sin when you received Jesus Christ. And you resurrected in the sense that you have become a born-again child of God. So, in this sense, listen, likewise, reckon ye also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield ye. You know what yield means. If you drive an automobile, you know. You have to let an automobile go by. It says yield the traffic. You have to slow and let that traffic go by. Well, the scripture says, it says neither you. Don't yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Okay? Don't give way to sin. But yield yourselves unto God. Amen. As those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You know, if you and I went down to the morgue tonight and we opened up one of those drawers in the morgue and we opened the drawer and said, hey, you guys want to go out and have a drink? You guys want to go out and smoke? You guys want to go out and play? You guys want to come out? They wouldn't answer you. You know why? Because they're dead. And in the same sense, you're dead to sin. And so when sin comes, I'm not going to be part of that. I'm dead. Now listen, everybody's got a besetting sin. I understand that. Everybody's got sins they'll fight with. We'll all fight with it continually. There's no question about it. And we have to continue to fight. And we'll seek that victory in Christ Jesus. And God can give you the victory. Colossians 3, 1 through 10 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the world. You see, we all have a habit of setting our affections on things in the world. Well, what does that mean? Well, I'm glad you asked that. It means that I shouldn't love my car. I should use my automobile and appreciate it and respect it as a machine and a blessing from God, but I should not worship it in that sense. I should not be yielding myself to putting that car before God, okay? Not setting my affections on those things. I love the things in my house, but I don't affectionately love them. Do you understand? I can go without them if the Lord chooses to have me go without them, without being brokenhearted. I would give the glory to God. Amen? Can you do that? I'm sure you can. But Scripture says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Some people have their affections on addiction. Some people have their affections on sports. Some people have their affections on astronomy. Some people have their affections on fishing. They love to do those things. And even though they're enjoyable, but somehow they get in the way of God. And that's what he's talking about. Don't set your affections on those things. But put your affections, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Hallelujah. Mortify, put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Hey, stop satisfying the members. He says, stop fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime. That's past, not present walk, but walked sometime. When ye lived in them, when did ye live in them? When you were unsaved. But now ye also put off all of these. Here's a list that Paul says you should not do. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Hey, I've said this often. I preach this in the church here. And I tell the members of the Bible Believers Baptist Church of Imperial Beach, listen, God, you go back and start living in that old man. It's just like if you had a two-car garage and you had a brand-new Cadillac or a brand-new car in the right side, and in the left side you have an old beat-up car, and you keep driving that old beat-up car. You keep going back to it when all you have to do is get in the new car and drive it. Well, that's what happens to my brother, and they get back to going back to their old life. Well, park that old life. Don't go back. That's what happened to Peter. Peter got backslidden. He's after the Lord resurrected, the Lord told him, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Peter said, I'm going fishing. And then you know what happened? His influence influenced the other disciples, and they ended up going fishing. He went back to his old job, that old fishing thing. He went back to his old pleasures. You know, and just some of us do the same thing. We end up back in the old haunts. You know, we end up back in the old bar. We end up back in the old, you know, arena. We end up back in the places that we know are trouble. Some people end up back in a crack house. You know where it all ends up? It ends up in prison. One way or the other, or death. Nothing good can come out of it. But you know what? Here's another thing that can help you. You should judge your sin. You and I, We need to be honest. And honesty is a quality that we can trust in God. He's honest. And if God wrote this, then honest. It's written from honesty and integrity and truth. And you and I need to agree with God that whatever it is sin that's hindering us. So 1 Corinthians 11:31 and 32 says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the word, with the world. You and I should also do this. We should confess our sins. Confess your sins to God. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? 1 John 1:9. Hiding God's word in your heart, my brethren, is something that will help you to battle sin. 1 Corinthians 10:23 says that God has made a way to escape from all temptation, whatever it is. And that way escape is found in Psalm 119, 9 through 11. It's through the word of God. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against you. Don't you just love the word of God? If you have your Bible open right now, look at that book. That's the most powerful book in the universe. It contains the living word of God. From cover to cover. Amen. And aren't you glad that it tells you the truth, the way sinful men have acted, and how God had mercy and grace on them and forgiveness? I mean, isn't that a wonderful, wonderful book? You read some of these other books by so-called religions, and you'll find that, you know what? They don't tell the truth, tell you all the good things. But God tells you the truth. He reveals the true character and nature of man and his true character in the dealing with man. Somebody once said, you know what, I don't need that book to be good. And I looked at him with a smile and I said, well, kind of a smirk, I guess, I'm sorry. It really wasn't malice, but I looked at him and I said, well, I don't need this book to be good either. But I do need this book to know how to have a relationship with God. It's his owner-operator's manual. Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ overcame his temptations. You know how he did it? By quoting Scripture. You know how he quoted Scripture? Because he knows the Scriptures. You know how you can quote Scripture? Because you know. If you've been stealing, then you need, when the temptation comes, if you put that one Scripture in your heart from the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal. And when you get ready to steal, the Holy Spirit will bring that to your remembrance, thou shalt not steal. And you turn around and walk away. Amen. By putting it in your heart. But the only sure way of overcoming sin in your life, power of the Word of God, honestly, brothers, you have to hide it in your heart and you have to apply it to your life. I was talking to Doc Bryan today, and Doc Bryan often preaches and comes here, and he's 90 years old and brings his wife, and they've been married for 70 years, and He's been preaching since he was 30 years old. And, you know, he comes here and he talks about things that come from his own experience in life. And truly, truly, you need to hide it and apply. Today we were talking, and Doc's been very sick, and I would ask for some prayer for him. He hasn't yet, kind of a flu, and he hasn't felt too well. And I said to him, I said, you know, Doc, I said, you know what the problem is? It's not that people don't read the book. It's the problem is they won't believe the book. We all have that problem. And then even if we believe it, we don't apply it. And we need to apply the Word of God to our lives. I think people don't know how to enjoy their lives. They're so worried about everything. They're so troubled and full of care. Paul said, be careful for nothing. Careful. Don't be full of care. Don't be full of care. We're not saying don't use caution in life, but I'm saying, my goodness, you walk around in life and you're worried about all these things that God is going to take care of. If you allow him to. Amen? You're a child of God. What child? What father doesn't want the best things for his children? Sometimes you have to sit and ask yourself, who am I? Well, I'm a child of God. Amen? And if I'm a child of God, then I'm an heir. I'm an heir to the universe. And everything in this world belongs to my Father. Everything in the universe belongs to my Father. And amen. Thank God that I am an heir through Jesus Christ. That makes me royalty. Holy royalty. And my brother, that's what you are. Walk it. Live it. Enjoy your life. Trust your Father. I was riding in a vehicle today, taking a fellow somewhere, and I looked over at a piece of property that, I would ask everybody to pray that the Lord would give me those 14 acres somehow. And I've been praying for those 14 acres. I would love to see a beautiful church with a Bible Institute there and Southern California and around the nation come and get sound doctrine and so in the community, and we could support mission. But I was driving by that piece of property, which I drive by often. It's empty, and I say, oh, it's just a bare lot. And I say, oh, God, if you just bless me with that. What you could do here. And I said to the fellow, there's our church. There's our church right there. And he looked over, the lot was empty, and he said to me, there's going to be a lot of money. And I said, brother, I'm not worried about money. My Father's God. I said, that's the problem with my brothers. They need money, and they go to God and say, God, could you give me $5? God, could you give me, hey, listen, my Father is God of the universe. He's got more treasure and money than anybody, and if he wants me to have it, he'll give it to me. Amen. As long as it's according to his will. And you know what? We put God in a box and we keep asking him small. I keep telling everybody, I've been asking God for $1 million. Lord, give me $1 million and we'll use it however you would like, Father, to glorify Jesus Christ. And so, you know, people say, did you get your million yet? I said, I believe it's coming. Amen. Maybe I'm just not ready right now. Maybe I wouldn't be able to handle it. Amen. God said, don't despise a day of small things. Here's something else that'll help you, my brethren. We need to trust God's promise to cleanse us and to fight our battles for us. You see, God's made promises. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Paul wrote that. 2 Corinthians. Paul also wrote in Hebrews 4:15-16, for we have not a high priest, Jesus Christ, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Did you hear that? Whew, hallelujah. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Amen. I'm here, God. Hallelujah. Father God, I'm calling on you. Boldly. I'll go before God and whisper, oh God, could you give me, I need some, my friend needs prayer. God, it's scripture says I can come boldly before the throne. I've often said this. My father was an antique dealer, and when a customer would want to get to the office and they'd have to knock on the door, I was his son. I don't have to knock on the door. My father's door, I walk in. I'm here, Dad. Same thing with my home. It's my father's home. I walk in. And that's what God's telling you. Boldly come in. You don't have to stand outside the throne. You don't have to feel you're unworthy of God. Go to God. He loves you. He wants to give you. What father doesn't want to bless his child with things that are good for them? Amen. And that's what he said. We don't have a high priest that can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Everything you and I have suffered in one way or the other, Jesus Christ has suffered the same thing. Are you mourning for a lost loved one? Jesus Christ wept for Lazarus, didn't he? He wept at Lazarus' tomb. Scripture says Jesus wept. Were you hungry? Do you get hungry? Well, Jesus was a hunger. Amen. Do you get tired? Jesus got tired. He slept in the boat. Do you pray? Jesus prayed. Tempted in your life to do things? Jesus was tempted. Listen, we don't have an impersonal God. Our God is not some pie in the sky. Our God is a living, wonderful, all-powerful. Listen, Jesus Christ could stand up at any time and take the whole universe and wrap it around his shoulders as a cape. Amen? And train it behind him, drag it behind him. Glory to the King. Hallelujah. And you're his son. You're a child of Almighty God. Isn't that wonderful? Who ever thought that I would be a child of God? I spent 26 years in a prison for the sins that I committed in my life. And by God, thank God he was merciful not to account me for every sin I ever committed. Thank God I got to put it under the blood of Jesus. And thank God I'm not going to hell. And thank God, my brethren, you're not going to hell. Hell's a real, literal, viable place. It's a place of eternal torment. And no man or woman has to go to hell. It's a choice they make. It's the choice they make. If you don't want to spend eternity with God, well, there's only one other alternative. Then spend eternity separated from God. You see, God didn't create hell for people who were sinners. God created hell for the devil and his angels that rebelled and fell. But God has no choice but to put people who will not receive his son as their Lord and Savior and choose to be separated from him, and people who refuse to be forgiven for their sins, then God has no choice. You made the choice. Don't get mad at God. Well, that's narrow-minded. No, it's not. It's your choice, my brother. It's your choice, my sister. Old or young, it's your choice. Nobody sends you to hell but you. It's your choice. Here's something else that can help with your sin. Walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. If you walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to find out that the power of the Holy Spirit will give you power to overcome sin. Galatians 5:16 to verse 25. And I'll wait for you to get there. Why don't you come look at that with me? I get so excited about the Word of God. Oh, it's the only truth I've known in my whole life. It's true. It's true through and through. Amen. It's not somebody in the government who's going to lie to me. It's not somebody of my friends that's going to lie to me. It's not somebody in my family who's going to make a promise that they can't keep, or a businessman. Listen, this is the truth. I have the truth. Woo! I've been lied to my whole life, and I was a liar. And thank God that I have the truth in my hands. And how could you let that go? It's like the pearl of great price, the parable the Lord talks about. They find that pearl. The man finds that pearl in the field, and he sells everything he has to get that field. Well, that pearl is the truth of God, the revelation, the Bible, the kingdom. And you should sell everything you have that. And I'm not saying empty your bank accounts in that sense. If God tells you that's on you, that's your conscience. But I'm just saying that you should sell your old life, that old way of living, all of it, for Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, we got a brother that comes out here. He's an ecstatic. His name is Fred. One day I'm going to get him up on this radio. We're going to have him talk to us a little bit about his life. Brother Fred was an addict. He got saved. God changed his life, saved him from going to hell, healed his body from that addiction. And I want you to know that I see Brother Fred out on Palm Avenue in Imperial Beach every single day, every day, for hour and hour, in the rain, in the sun, in the heat, in the dampness, and he's out there raising money by selling Pixie Stick candy and M&M's, or any donation he can get to help Christians in Mexico and orphanages and addicts who have come to Christ and to reach addicts who don't know Christ. And every single day, and I said to him, Brother Fred, how do you do it? And he says, I do it because I owe it all to Jesus. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. Amen. He owes it all to Jesus. He's a man that knows. Here's what Galatians 5:16-25 says. Walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul says this. This I say then. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery. Listen, people say, oh, well, the devil got on that guy, and the devil guy, listen, the devil might have tempted him, but you don't need the devil to tempt you. You can do these things just by being a human being. You say, how's that? I'm going to read it to you. Paul said, the works of the flesh are manifest. These are your works of your flesh. Your flesh is capable of doing these things. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lascivious, you know what lasciviousness is, lewd dancing, sending your kids to proms at night so they could, dance with the opposite sex and swing their hips, and that's lasciviousness, anything that arouses the flesh. Idolatry, anything you put before God, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Got an NIV? That's a heresy. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, partying. And then you brag about it. You go out and drink all weekend. Monday you meet at the water cooler at work, and you stand there and you tell everybody, oh, hey, you know what we did this weekend? Yeah, I put down 12 beers. We rode around. I drove home. I thought I was going to get arrested, but I got home drunk, safe. Lord have mercy. It's a shame. And such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do those things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The unsaved do those things, and they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, this is what you're exhibiting. This is what should come from you. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Amen? I mean, listen, your flesh is alive. How many times a day do you feed your flesh and even snack your flesh, and yet you don't feed your spirit? Now, some faithful brethren go to church on Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon and Wednesday evening service and sometimes in between. But I want you to know that there's a daily feeding of your flesh. A daily feeding and you of your spirit. And you feed your flesh three times, maybe more, you snack in between. But how come you only sit down and read that Bible for 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes in the morning, and go about your life the rest of the day? What about your spirit? When do you feed it again? The next day? Why are you starving your spirit? How much time do you spend in prayer? Do you start your day off with the morning news, which is only, depressing? Why start your day off with turning on the TV to see the morning news? Start your day off with get out of bed and open those eyes and say, good morning, Jesus. thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you, God, for watching over me while I was sleeping, because I didn't know what was going on when I was sleeping around me. But, Lord, you knew, and you protected me. And I'm grateful, Lord, to have another day that I can serve you. The problem is too many of us are waiting for Jesus to serve us. We should be serving him. Here's something else Paul said about this flesh and spirit. Romans 8:1-8. There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the spirit of the life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, fleshly minded, worldly minded, he's saying, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. My brethren, when are you going to start enjoying your life? In the Lord. Why do we get up in the morning and we're on our way to work and we're already worried about what we're going to do Friday and it's only Monday? Or what we're going to do Thursday and it's only Tuesday? Or what we're going to do next month? Why don't you live for today? Try that for one day. Say, God, I'm going to put tomorrow in your hands, if you give me tomorrow. Because today's not promised. We're in America. America is the land of sudden death. Airplanes are falling out of skies on houses. People are killing people in the streets. We don't know. Anything could happen. People are taking on the world with a lightning strike. How about just being grateful? Let's work on today. Let's get to the most we can get out of today by sharing the day with the Lord Jesus Christ and saying, God, I'm going to focus on you today. I'm going to thank you, God, for all the wonderful things we have. We take so much for granted. We live so much in the flesh that we think we're supposed to have two eyes, or we're supposed to have two ears, or we're supposed to have a tongue and speak, or we're supposed to be born with all our legs. Listen, there are people in the world without those things. And you know what? We have them. You need to thank God for that. And if you don't have those things, you need to thank God, because God's blessing you in another way. There's a plan there for you, my brethren. Fanny Crosby was blind, and she wrote many, many hymns. She wrote, Savior, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Amen. And she contributed to the Lord, and the Lord used her mighty. So I have some things, a few things I'd like to get to the end of the message now. We've gone almost an hour, and give any callers a chance to call in, but I have some basic questions that people have asked me, and I thought I'd share them with you. One of them is, how do I keep the influence of a sinful world from affecting me? You know, I'm in the world, so how do I keep the things of the world that I see every day and I hear every day, how do I keep them from affecting me? Well, the first thing is, don't involve yourself with sinful activities. You know, of course, you have to associate with unsaved people in order to try to win them to Christ, but don't get involved in their sin. Amen? Times you get around people and they're swearing and they're cursing, and don't get involved in that thing. Don't stick around, because you know what you're saying? It's okay. It's not okay. And, I mean, you could tell them in a polite way, my friend, you swear a lot. Well, pardon my French. But, brother, that's not French. Sir, it's not French. Madam, it's not French. My friend, it's not French. It's cursing. You swear a lot. And you're an intelligent person. And for an intelligent person, I know you must have some other words you could use. Or what are you, more holier than I? No. But I don't use those words because I have more intelligent words. Are you saying I'm stupid? No, I'm saying that I don't think you're thinking about it. Well, don't come around if you don't want to hear me swear. That's what one guy told me. Don't come around me if you don't want to hear me swear. I said, okay, my friend, see you later. I'm going to choose Christ over your swearing, that's for sure. And so I walked away. Didn't talk to me for 6 months. 6 months later, he came back to me and he said, Peter, I want to apologize to you. I've been wrong. And when I'm around you, I will try not to swear. I can't promise you I won't always, but I'll try not to. And he was an unsaved man. But the conviction he had of the Holy Spirit. In all that time that he knew me, he was trying to catch me swearing. See, but I was living for Christ. So don't involve yourself with sinful activities. Don't go around places where there's sinful activity. You don't need to do those things. Ephesians 5:5-12 says, for this ye know, Paul says you already know this, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't take part with them. For ye were sometimes darkness. We lived as they do in the world. But now are ye in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of what? Of darkness. But rather, reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Think of that. It's a shame what they're doing in secret. Don't even talk about it. Here's another thing. Separate yourselves from the way of the world. Separate yourself from the way of the world. And follow Jesus Christ. Follow the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6:14-18. Paul tells you this. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Don't marry an unbeliever. Don't think that you're going to marry that person and change them. You don't know. Only God knows. Marry a believer. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. The Holy Spirit lives in you. You're a temple. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And then Paul gives his stern warning. He says, wherefore, because of what I just said, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Paul's telling you what God said. Come out from among them, and be ye separate. Stop hanging around with sinners. The only reason why you should be around anybody who's living a sinful life is to try and bring them to Jesus Christ and do not participate in their sin. And when they start getting sinful, walk away. Where are you going? I can't be part of that conversation. Some of us stand there and listen to that whole filthy, dirty conversation. Do you know to the pure in heart all things are pure? One day I was standing next to a couple fellows who were talking, and I was listening to them talk about a certain subject. And I had no idea that what they were talking about was wrong because I was thinking something pure. And then a Christian brother came and he said, brother, come away from there. And I said, what's up? And he said, don't you know what they're talking about? And I said, yeah, they're talking about this. He said, oh, no, they're not. Come on, brother. Amen. You know, be you harmless as doves, but wise as serpents. But Paul finishes his verses, his passage, which wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. James said in James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses. He's talking about not just physical, but spiritual adultery. You can commit spiritual adultery. You're married to Christ. Listen, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And finally, let me conclude with this. Realize this. All of us need to realize that separation can also be a positive thing. Separation doesn't have to be negative. You know, not only are you to be separate from the world, but you're to separate yourself unto the gospel. In Romans 1:1, the first verse of the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Isn't that something? separated onto the God? Are you separated onto the gospel of God? You say, oh, Dr. Ventura, you think you're so holy. Oh, no, my friends. Dr. Ventura battles just like you do every day, morning till night. It's on. You want to really see when it's on. You know, you start passing the church, you'll find out it's on everywhere. Amen? But by the grace of God, you know, I'm able to perform my functions and duties to the Lord. Not because Dr. Ventura is such a great guy. I'm not a great guy. I'm a wretched man. I'm a wretched, wicked sinner, and the only good part of me is Jesus Christ. Amen? And the only good part of you is Jesus Christ. And if you say anything different, then you know what? I would challenge you right now. Ask yourself, what did I do today just for Jesus? Go ahead. See how many things you can count. I'm not sure I can count too many. Difficult. It's difficult. Well, I brought flowers home to my wife. The Bible says, honor my wife. Yeah, you brought flowers home to your wife. Was it to honor your wife, or was it because you wanted her to say you were a good husband? Yeah. You start thinking about that thing, huh? Hey, man. Well, it's a difficult subject, and pastors don't like to preach about it. But it has to be preached on. We have to preach about sin. Next week, we have the ladies broadcast, Ladies Christian Night, and they're going to study. We'll post it, and we'll see what Sister Joan and Sister Joanna and Sister Marilyn are going to teach on. And for you ladies, I hope that you'll tune in. They always teach on pick certain women of the Bible and teach of the characteristics and how it applies to your life also, and things we can, lessons we can learn. And the following week, we'll try and get Brother Joe Gibson back on. I'm not quite sure yet. We still have a lesson 11 dealing with the liberty of Christ, our liberty in Christ. And you and I have liberty in Christ, amen? Scripture says we're to proclaim that liberty. And so if you were convicted tonight and you're angry and you say, well, that guy thinks he knows everything, well, I'm just reading to you from the Bible, my brother. And I want to tell you the truth. I don't ever want to keep the truth from you. And you know what? The Bible says a wound from a friend is a good thing. It's better than a wound from an enemy. And I've been corrected. We have to watch how we use our Christian walk. And we use it. And we use it to influence other people. How? By our testimony. We give up things. Being a Christian sometimes is hard. But I'd rather fellowship with Christians than fellowship with sinners. You know why? Because I know where I am. But a word of wisdom to my brethren. A word of wisdom to the listeners. A word of wisdom to anybody who's going to go back and archive this program. Because I know you go back and archive it, some of you. And some of you archive it because it's very late on the East Coast. But I want to give you a word of wisdom. Don't ever get to the place where you think that you stand above the sinner. And what I'm saying is not that positionally you aren't better off than a sinner, because you are. You're in Christ Jesus. But as we get saved and we clean our lives up and we don't do the things that we used to do in the flesh, sometimes we tend to look at people in the flesh and we look at them wrong. We have to remember that we were there. I was in a store one day, and the man said to me, would you like a lottery ticket? And I could have said, oh, no, I don't do that stuff. I used to gamble before I was saved. I don't play that lottery crap. No. Don't. No, you do that. The world. Hey. You know what I told him? I said, I can't do that. My boss would get mad. He said, who's your boss? I said, God. God, I serve God. I could have said, well, my father will be mad. Well, you're a grown man. I know my father will be mad. My father would be angry with me for playing. Not mad, but he would be angry with me for gambling. See? And then it made him think of God. I didn't say, oh, well, I didn't do that stuff. I did that when I was in the world, you know, beat a sinner up. Somebody brought you the gospel. Bring somebody else the gospel. Amen? Well, I hope this lesson helped you. I'll give you one more chance to call in. It's 347-945-5416. You press extension 1. I'll receive the call before we go off the air. Usually I take a break at 6:30. I also, if you're a Christian business and you have a Christian business and you would like to come onto the program here and tell the audience about your business and what God's done for you, and we welcome that. We don't charge you. You can come on to the Sound Doctrine broadcast. I'd love to have you come on. I would like to say this. I'd like to say that Brother Joe Gibson, Joseph Gibson is his name, the third, but not Joe. Joe, I call him Joe. He's my brother. I've known him for many years. But his book is still out there, and you can get it on Amazon. It's called Behind the Walls. Behind the Walls, and it's written by Joel Honnett. And it's the story of a Christian man who was incarcerated, who never received justice, who was forced into a position in his life that he really, really didn't want to be in. It's a true story. It's not a true crime story in that sense, but it's a true story. And I would encourage you, brethren, Joseph didn't get justice. His grandmother put her life savings into helping defend Joseph and lost that because of an attorney who failed to make a claim and didn't handle the case the way it probably should have been handled. And he's our Christian brother, and he suffered that. And he deserves justice. And if you read the book, you'll know why. And so I'm asking the listeners to go order that book. It's not expensive. Go to Amazon and order Joe's book. I don't receive a dime out of it. I don't receive a royalty. I don't receive a penny. But Joe does. He gets a stipend, a small stipend from those books. And it's kind of our way of blessing them back and saying, you know what, Joe, we know you were wrong, and we want to bless you. And so if you do that, that'd be a wonderful thing. If you read the book and you'd like to come on and tell us what you thought about it, we'll get Joe on. And when Joe's on, you can tell him, say, hey, Brother Joseph, I read your book. Woo, how did you survive that? I mean, the story, even a jury has to be dismissed. They were so afraid to hear the case. It had never been done before. So you really want to read it. And it could happen to any one of us. It could happen to any one of our children. It could happen to any one of our fathers or brothers or sons or sisters or daughters. I would encourage that. I would like to thank Marilyn, my wife. I hope your ankle's better. Marilyn sprained her ankle a couple days ago. Still helped set up the church. She's been great encouragement. Sister Joanna down there in Florida. Let's thank the Bible Believers Baptist Church of Imperial Beach. I asked for prayers for Doc Bryant. I want you to know we've asked for prayer for Kermit before. And he has some kidney problems and some problems. And, you know, God's been doing wonders in his life. And Brother Lewis called me yesterday and said, you're not going to believe this, but I was fishing with Brother Kermit. So I know God's doing miracles out there. We'd love to pray for you. You can reach me at ventura.peter77@gmail.com. Or you can go to Nathan on the Spot. And you can find a chat box on the bottom right now. I know a lot of people say, you know, we don't like to talk. We don't want to interrupt the lesson. And that's okay. I appreciate that. I respect that. I still love to hear from you. I'd love to hear your voice. And if you disagree with me, I'd love to hear that too. We're not going to have a fight. We'll have a discussion. Amen. I want to thank Brother John Hill, Nathan on the Spot, who's behind the scenes, Enterprisement Media, who's given John Hill and myself the opportunity to come on here as guests and to hold this spot on Thursday night and to preach whatever we want, in spite of whatever doctrine is being broadcast from Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, and it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. There are other broadcasts. I don't listen to them. I don't really have the time. Some of them I have heard, but we're allowed to preach, and if it disagrees with them, well, amen. I was told that we have free reign in the Lord Jesus Christ, and so we thank God for Brother Brown, and we thank God for all the people, the Bro family and Adolfo and all those who have supported us in prayer. And we just ask, you know, I'm kind of weary now. It's been a long day, and I know you've all had a long day. And I thank you for tuning in. And God bless you. And I hope you'll tune in to the ladies' program. Come and hear the Christian women. You're really going to bless them. Amen. And we praise the Lord. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Almighty God, for the wonderful, wonderful things you teach us, for the opportunity to speak sound doctrine here. Lord, help us to confess our sins and not just to come before you at the end of the night and say, oh God, forgive me for all my sins. I don't remember them all. Help us to be mindful to confess them as we commit them, Father, that you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness in that, Father, because that's a sincere prayer and you would honor my brethren's prayer. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to glorify you. Protect us during the week, Lord, and help us, Lord, to win somebody to Jesus Christ today. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Brother Nathan, you have the switchboard. I'm turning it over to you.
I feel